Tachat Kelam Perek Yidalam Mishnah Chet Matash Ar Kuvah Shenishbar Mitoch Ar Kuvasot Tah. A key that's shaped like a knee joint. It has a bend like a knee joint, and the key broke by the bend. It's tar. It's no longer considered clean, no longer could be used the same way that it was used before it broke. Rabbi Yehuda Matame, Mipnei Shuposeah Bo Mibosnit. Rabbi Yehuda holds that this key remains tame even after it broke, because it still can be used to open up the lock from the inside. Even though Rabbi Yehuda agrees it can't be used from the outside, since it could be used from the inside, it's still considered a kli, and it's makabotum. V'shalgam shenishbar mito gumo tar. And the key that's shaped like a gam is a gimel yavanis, a Greek gimel that's similar to RL. If it broke by the bend, it's tar, no longer considered a kli, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, as it no longer could be used at all. Hayu bo chafin un a kavin. Tame. A key that has both teeth and hole. It's tame. It's considered a kli. It has teeth to be used with one lock with matching grooves, while it has holes to be used with a different lock with matching pins. It could be used with two different locks. It's makabel tumah since it's a kli. Nitlu chafin. Tame ben nein a kavin. If the teeth was removed from this key, it's still considered a kli in its tame because it still has holes and can still be used with a lock with matching pins. It's datmu in a kavin. Tame mitnei chafin. If the holes were blocked up, it's still considered a kli in its tame because it still has teeth and it can still be used with a lock that has matching grooves. Nitlu chafim and istatmu nakav. But if the teeth were removed and the holes were blocked up, so now the key can no longer be used at all. So therefore, it's no longer considered a kli. Or if the holes and the teeth broke one into the other, meaning to say the teeth broke in such a way that it blocked up the holes, or the holes expanded and were widened in such a way that it made the teeth unusable in such a case, the mafteach is tar, is no longer makabel tumah since it cannot be used with any lock at all. A strainer that is used to strain mustard. That three of the holes towards the bottom broke one into the other. The three holes now are one hole. In such a case, the mismenes is tahir, no longer considered a kli. Since the three holes were turned into one, it no longer could be used for the purpose that it was intended for. You can't strain mustard in this mismenes anymore. Now, fark is made out of metal. Is makabel tumah. This afakis is a kli with a wide opening on top and a narrow opening on the bottom. And grain is put in this kli. So as the grain falls out from the narrow opening on the bottom into the rechayim, into the mill, as you don't want to have the grain fall into the mill all at once, so therefore you put it into this kli so it'll fall slowly into the mill. This kli is makabel tumah. As even though it does not have a base kibbutz, it does not have a receptacle, since it has an opening on both sides, since it is a kli makos, a metal kli is an identifying name, the makabel tumah, even without a receptacle. Mishnah Aleph, kli eitz, kli or, kli etzem, kli tzchuchetz. Any utensils made out of wood, leather, bone, or glass. All these kelim have the same din, pshutem tahirim. If they are flat without a receptacle, they are tall. We learn out from the pasuk that all these kelim, if they're pashut, are not makabel tumah, umekablehem tamehem. If they do have a receptacle, only then are they makabel tumah. Nishbaru taru. Any of these kelim that had come into contact with something that's tummy and became tummy. And after they became tummy, they broke. They are now tahar. Since they are no longer a kli, they are no longer tummy. It's only kelim are makabel tumah. Something that's not a kli is not makabel tumah. Chazar v'atumam kelim makabelin tumah mikan ulahaba. If after they broke, he made them into kelim, they took the broken pieces and made it into a new kli, they are makabel tumah from that point on, but the old tumah that it had before it broke would not come back. Only if they come into contact with tumah again would it become tumah. As even though we had in the previous mission that a kli matkes, a metal kli, that became tumah and then broke and then was made into a new kli, would the old tumah come back? But by these kelim, the old tumah would not return if they broke and were made into a new kli. Hashida b'hateva b'hamikdo. A shida is a wooden box. A teva is a counter, also made out of wood. And a migdal is a closet. Kiberet hakash. V'kiberet hakanim. A beehive that's made out of straw or reed. U'bos fin alexandri sheyesh lam shulayim. Or a fresh water well is called Alexandris after Alexandria. And this fresh water well is for big boats. Boats that go to Alexandria are big boats. And all these kelim that have shulayim, that have bottoms, that can rest on their bottom. They machdikin abam sa balach, shen kurayim biyavesh, hari elu tahur. if any of these candles that we just mentioned are so large that if they hold liquid, they would hold 40 saw worth of liquid. And if they hold dry goods, they would hold 2 core of dry goods, which is 60 saw. You can hold more dry goods than liquids, as dry goods could be heat as opposed to liquid. If any of these candles are so large that they hold this amount of produce, they are tar. They would not be makabel tuma. As we did it by kliates, the same would be true by kash and kanim, that if they're very, very large, that cannot be moved when they're full by one person, they would not be makabel tuma. It would have a din of a kliate tasil, and not have a kliate that rests in one place and is not moved. Such a kliate is not makabel tuma. We learn this out from the pasuk. Therefore, all these kalim that hold this amount of goods cannot be budged by one person when they're full, and therefore would not be makabel tuma. Ushakwa kalim be makabel, be nana makabel tumayim, did be rabbi meir. But other kalim that are made out of other materials, not wood, whether they're makabel, meaning to say, whether they hold 40 sabalach and 2 kol b'yavesh or not, they would be makabel tuma. Even if they hold a tremendous amount of produce that they cannot be moved by one person, still they're makabel tuma, as only by kliate does the Torah say that a kliate tasil anach is a kliate that rests in one place and is not moved and not makabel tuma. By other kalim, even if they rest in one place and are not moved, they are makabel tuma according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir. He says kalim made out of other materials, if they hold a tremendous amount of produce that cannot be moved, will not be makabel tuma, with the exception of the following: dardir agola. This is a barrel that holds produce inside of it that's attached to an agola, a wagon, and is moved with the agola. That would be makabel tuma even if it holds a tremendous amount of produce, since it could be moved with the agola. Ukostos hamalachim. This is a chest that is used by kings with many compartments inside of it, and it's also put on the agola and moved with the agola, so therefore it's makabel tuma even if it holds a lot. Ba'arevas ha'avdonim, in a trough used by tanners to soak their hides in this trough. This kli also would be makabel tuma even though it holds more than 40 sabalach. Ubor sfina ktana, and a fresh water well on a small boat. Such a bor also would be makabel tuma as it's moved with the boat. Beha arun, in large chest. Afal pisha makabel tumayim shein ha'asiyan l'tato ela b'masha b'tocha. All the above mentioned kalim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though they hold more than 40 sabalach or 2 kor b'yavesh, still they're makabel tuma, as all these kalim are mainly used to be moved when they have things inside of them. So therefore, since the kalim are made to be moved, even though they hold a lot inside of them, they're makabel tuma, meaning to say, even though they cannot be moved by one person, since they are made to be moved with the produce inside of them, they are considered kalim even when they're very large, and are makabel tuma. Usharkoa kalim are makabel tuharim, v'sheina makabel tumeim. But any other kalim besides the ones that I just mentioned, if they're makabel 40 sabalach or 60 sabayavi, they're tar. If they hold that amount inside of them, they are not makabel tuma, since they cannot be moved by one person. But if they don't hold that amount, then they are tameh. This is according to Rabbi Yehuda, who argues with Rav Meir, who said before that any other kalim besides the kalim mentioned towards the beginning of the Mishnah, even if they hold a tremendous amount inside of them, they would be makabel tuma. And being divrei Rabbi Meir or divrei Rabbi Yehuda, la arevas b'al habayis. In truth, the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is only by a trough used by a b'al habayis, by a regular person. This trough, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it holds 40 sabalach or 60 sabayavish, would not be makabel tuma. As Rabbi Yehuda said, the shakwa kalim, any other kalim besides the ones that he mentioned, if they're makabel that amount inside of them, they are tar. While Rabbi Meir argues, he holds that a arevas b'al habayis, even if it holds a lot inside of them and cannot be moved by one person, would not be makabel tuma. Meaning to say that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda don't argue on each other except for this case, arevas b'al habayis, that according to Rabbi Meir, the arevas b'al habayis makabel tuma in any case, where Rabbi Yehuda holds that the arevas b'al habayis, if it holds a lot inside of it and cannot be moved by one person, would not be makabel tuma.